Something very significant is easily missed in 1 Samuel chapter 26. I hope you'll get your Bible and turn to 1 Samuel. Chapter 26, verse 25, it reads, "Then Saul said to David, 'May you be blessed, my son David. You shall both do great things and also still prevail.' So David went on his way, and Saul returned to his place." Something rootless and vague drip from these words. David went on his way. To where? For years, Saul had been pursuing David, so David couldn't settle down. He was on the run, and all the people who were dear to him had been stripped away. David was at the point of emotional exhaustion and felt so vulnerable. In other words, he was losing touch with all his roots, the things that, you know, reminded him who he was. David literally ran from his roots. He was completely out of touch. We can all relate to some degree or another. The businessman travels to a large city on the other side of the country, and no one knows him. He's out of his social group. No acquaintances to answer to. No one cares what you do or even what you think. And he may not realize it, but he is in an incredibly dangerous place spiritually. He's not close to his roots. Or you've been bombarded all week long. Vicious competition, crass materialism all week long. It seems like from every direction you find something hostile to your faith. And there's no one there to feed your faith. Instead, they are, maybe subtly, but they're mocking your faith. And you realize you are so spiritually alone, maybe even a little confused at times. Not one of us function well when we're separated from our roots. Not even David, who literally became a law to himself. His daily routine had changed. Actually, his daily routine had disappeared. There were no appointments to keep, no superiors to please, no institutions to support, no expectations to meet. He was cut off from his roots, from his people. And he was living a life of hurt. He was disillusioned. Even felt betrayed. Listen to me. It is so easy to lose your way when you're cut off from your roots. Especially when people you love hurt you deeply. Or when you're away from family. Or you're away from your church home. No one is there to hold you accountable. It is so easy to lose your way. Understand, David's real problem was not just that he did not have his people with him. His real problem was his separation from God. For three chapters, which describe 16 months, we find no prayers recorded by David. There was no inquiring of the Lord. There were no songs written or even sung. These were rootless months. He didn't even mention Jehovah God. It was as though his heart and his pen had ran dry. And it always happens that way. So It challenges us. So how close are you to the Lord this morning? An early symptom of being distanced from God is the loss of your song. You understand what I'm saying? When your lips quit singing, and when your heart quits rejoicing, then your heart is dying. But here's the real shocker for David. David didn't even notice that he wasn't singing and praising God. For him, God was somewhat out of sight, out of mind. And so the next step was inevitable. David would suffer the consequences of his rootlessness, just like we do. What were the consequences? Well, that's the focus of our lesson this morning. What are the consequences of walking away from your roots? For David, first of all, it was self-deception. And self-deception always comes with a truckload of baggage, because you become so vulnerable to really bad decisions and so readily accept lies. Maybe you're telling the lies. And there were plenty of bad decisions. Number one, he chose wrong attitudes. Now, normally we don't think about choosing attitudes. You know, we have them, or we get them, or we drift into them. But here's the fact of the matter. We choose our attitudes. They don't just happen. David chose to become self-centered and self-protective. Look at the first part of 1 Samuel 27, verse 1. And David said in his heart, I underlined said in his heart. He's making a choice. And David said in his heart, now I shall perish someday by the hand of Saul. There's nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape to the land of the Philistines. David, what are you doing? I mean, is the giant killer going to run like a coward? Hey, have you completely forgotten God and His plan for you? This is mind-boggling. David runs to the arch enemy of the Israelites. Look at the last part of verse 1 here in 1 Samuel 27. He goes on to say, and Saul will despair of me to seek me any more in any part of Israel, so I shall escape out of his hand. Really? Really? This is the plan that you came up with? Brace up, folks. When you choose, like David is here, when you choose selfish attitudes, you have tough days ahead. Depression and pity parties will fill the road of your life with soul-jarring tough days and potholes. David said in his heart, I'm going to die. Saul's going to get me. So now I shall perish someday by the hand of Saul. Bottom line, David is saying, I don't think God's going to protect me anymore. He chose the wrong attitude. But secondly, David chose to travel. Instead of going deeper into his home country, David heads to the heart of Philistia, Gath. How can you ever get to the right place by going the wrong direction? The king of Gath sent him to Ziklag. And Ziklag became his new home. It's amazing. A rootless person can easily, quickly connect and attach to anyone, and literally to anything. Look at verse 12. So Achish believed David, saying, He's made his people utterly abhor him. Therefore, he will be my servant forever. Only a rootless David would have ever tolerated this, would ever have been this foolish. And then thirdly, David chose the wrong methods. He's living in enemy territory. And so he becomes an enemy of Israel. Look at chapter 27, verse 6. And so Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Therefore, Ziklag has belonged to the kings of Judah to this day. Now, the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was 1 year and 4 months. And David and his men went up and raided the Geshurites and the Girzites and the Amalekites. For those nations were the inhabitants of the land from of old, as you go to Shur, even as far as to the land of Egypt. Whenever David attacked the land, he left neither man nor woman alive, but took the sheep, the oxen, the donkeys, the camels, and the apparel, and returned and came to Achish. Daily, David and his army of men made raids to the south of Philistia. And we're talking about bloody raids. But he comes back and he tells his king, his new king, the king of Philistia, Achish, that he wasn't going to the south, he was going to the north. Look at verse 10. Then Achish would say, where have you made a raid today? David would say, against the southern area of Judah, or against the southern area of the Jerahmeites, and against the southern area of the Kenites. David would save neither man nor woman alive to bring news to Gath, saying, lest they should inform on us, saying, thus David did. And thus was his behavior all the time he dwelt in the country of the Philistines. David murdered all the witnesses. Innocent people were annihilated only to cover his lies. And don't you wonder what happened to that clear-eyed, tender-hearted, godly-centered shepherd from Bethlehem? Understand, here's another factor. David really didn't think he was doing anything wrong. For David, the end justified the means. That sound familiar? We kind of live in that kind of world, don't we? The end justifies the means. And yet when your personal integrity crumbles, you will suddenly find yourself, well, shoulder to shoulder with David. It happens so quickly. Especially with the little things. Someone calls on the phone. Did I wake you? No, I was awake. Why do we do that? Maybe it's to make them feel comfortable, or to make ourselves feel more approachable, or to cover up our nap time, our laziness. But often this also takes place in the big things. Well, we tell a white lie. There's no such thing. But we tell a white lie to cover our sins. And we do it while trying to convince ourselves that everything is fine. The end justifies the means. Listen to me. The road to Gath is easier traveled than most folks are willing to admit. David gave up his integrity. Take this home. A consequence of not being rooted in God will be self-deception. When you deceive yourself, you're accepting lies about your relationship with God. And you may be the one telling the lies. bad attitudes, wrong relationships, and wrong methods will defeat you every time. Now, notice one more consequence of not being rooted in God, and that is a confused identity. No one thought it could happen, but at times David so blurred the lines that he literally became confused about who he was, and especially about whose he was. He literally tried to be a Philistine on the outside while trying to be an Israelite on the inside. Can you wrap your mind around this? David found himself marching in the army of the Philistines on their way to battle Israel. 1 Samuel 29, verse 1. Then the Philistines gathered together all their armies at Aphek. And the Israelites encamped by a fountain, which is in Jezreel. And the lords of the Philistines passed in review by hundreds and by thousands. But David and his men passed in review at the rear with Achish. David was now paying the price for no roots, for no ties, for no bond with God's people, or even God himself. And his mind must have been racing wildly that day. Sure, he has to be remembering Goliath in the Valley of Elah, right? He has to be remembering the details of taking down Goliath with that one little stone. He has to be remembering that God empowered him with that incredible victory. And now, here he is, walking in step with the Philistine army, this godless enemy. David, what are you thinking? Are you just waiting for an opportunity to run? Are you ready to turn on the Philistines? Are you so confused and trapped that you aren't thinking about all of this with any clarity? David had lived in Philistia long enough. He had been separated from God long enough that he wasn't sure who he was anymore. But don't dare be too tough on David. Are you listening? If you attempt to get God's business done with worldly strategies, well, you're following the same path that David did. So some believe that David was just taking another step to the throne God had given him. And I have a Greek word for that, baloney. That's not what he's doing here. He had gone over to the world. He had gone over to the dark side. He no longer looked like, or smelled like, or talked like, or thought like, or loved like, and most of all, lived like a man after God's own heart. He had violated his conscience. And now he's paying the price. You never dabble in the world. Listen to me. You never dabble in the world and expect to end up doing God's business. One man decided that he was going to become relevant. He went into the world. He made a lot of money. But he always had a goal. And his goal was, he was going to be working for the Lord, reaching the unreachable. And so with his wealth, he went to the bars to reach the unreachable. He didn't want to do it other people's way, but his way. He wanted more freedom to be more credible with these sinners, but freedom got to him, and he ended up being like those he once wanted to reach. Why? Well, he lost touch. He pulled up his vital roots, and he lost his identity. He forgot who he was. If you're a history buff, you remember reading about Sherman making his famous march to the sea. But what you might not have read was that when he somewhere down in Georgia, he hit a snag. As he rode along, suddenly from behind a rural smokehouse, a weary old woman made her stand. Her clothes were ragged and dirty. She was unkempt. She was obviously struggling and suffering because of the Civil War. But her eyes still flashed Dixie fire. And her bony hands brandished a worn-out broom. And she walked up to that general on his horse, and she went to work on him. She gave him everything she had. Of course, she quickly wore down. And the amused Sherman sat on his horse and said, "Ma'am, don't you see that I'm a general with a whole army behind me? Do you really think that you're going to stop me with a worn-out broom?" And she just yelled at him, "Well, of course I don't think I'm going to stop you. I just want to make sure everyone knows which side I'm on." Are you listening? We better decide which side we're on. That was the message David needed to hear. And it's as applicable to us today. If you want to identify as a Christian, but you're well pleased to be carnal out in the world, you'll never know who you are and whose you are. David wondered, "Am I a Philistine or an Israelite?" You can't have it both ways. For 16 months, David made a fool of himself, but it finally came to a head. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1. 1 Samuel 30, verse 1. "Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire. And had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way." So David and his men came to the city. Now remember, this is their home. This is their city. They came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. "Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelites, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his son and his daughters. But David," watch this, "but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God." And then David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, "Please bring the ephod here to me." And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue the troop? Shall I overtake them?" And of course, all were recovered. When David and his men topped that last hill and saw nothing but charred ruins, no wives, no children, nothing of value left behind, his men then began to demand David's life. Visions of the Amalekites ravaging their families, that was too much. And it was then it all came to a head. David turned back to God. Verse 6, David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. For the first time in months, we read that David now reconnects to God, even inquires of God, God, tell me what to do. Why did David do it? Why did David, and why do we try to live on our own strength? Think about it. Where is God in your life right now? This morning, right now. If you've strayed away from him, what will it take to turn you back to God? For David, it was a destroyed city with all his family, the family of all his soldiers. Back with God, David then made things right with his people. He sacked and plundered the Amalekites, recovering every person and all the valuables. 1 Samuel 30, verse 26. Now when David came to Ziklag, he sent some of the spoil to the elders of Judah, to his friends, saying, here's a present for you from the spoil of the enemies of the Lord. Finally, here's what's really happening. David is now becoming accountable to his people again. He's reconnected to God. He's reestablishing his roots. He reestablishes his role as a leader. When you understand who you are and whose you are, then you understand your responsibilities. Long ago, a European leader told his advisors, he said, I want you to often walk up to me and whisper in my ear. And this is what I want you to whisper. Remember, you're just a mortal. We need to remember we are more than a mortal. We're spiritual children of God. That's our identity. That's our roots. If you're not a Christian, you need to grow some roots. You need to respond to the gospel call. You're condemned by sin. Your sin. Christ died because of that, so that you can be freed from your sins. So you believe in Christ as the Son of God, your Savior. You believe in the gospel. And you know your sin put Jesus on the cross. You feel some godly sorrow because of that. Paul says, hey, your godly sorrow will lead you to repentance. And now you change the way you're thinking. You change the way you're living. You stand before the others, acknowledging and confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then you're baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Buried with Christ by baptism into death. And then just as Christ was raised, you're raised to walk in newness of life with roots that run deep. Connecting you to God. Connecting you to other Christians. If you've been living, you're a Christian, but you've been living as though you're not one, you need to come back to God. You need to come. Come now while we stand and sing.